Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I find our celebrations of the Harvest Thanksgiving a little curious these days, mostly because there's all these things that go around it that make my head shake. We have a Harvest Thanksgiving that we celebrate today. The state will have a Thanksgiving that they will celebrate in November, and the great event which happens just before Thanksgiving in the States is, of course, Black Friday. And even in our lessons today, there are fingers pointing to what people do when they're prosperous. When they're prosperous, I think sometimes imagining Black Friday is much more exciting than imagining how we might make the world a safe place for everybody. Sometimes prosperity can be a problem. Prosperity can sometimes get in the way if we don't use our prosperity in a way that God would have us. That's basically what is being said in the book of Deuteronomy. The people have been living in exile, and now they were in a place which was full of bounty. Finally, they're not exiles anymore. And they are reminded, remember what it was like to go through the Great Depression. Remember that. And let come forward with your first fruits. First fruits, that's an interesting notion, actually. One I think we find sometimes difficult to even conceive of, because we have so many priorities. When you're prosperous, you have you've got many pressures on how you use your money and where your money goes, and it becomes quite confounding at times. When I was in Saskatchewan, one of the things that was happening was the multinational corporations decided they wanted to buy up all the farmland. So they would buy farmland from the farmers and then make a mega farm, especially so that they could use genetically modified seeds in order that they could maximize whatever crop that they would produce. And very rarely did they buy the home quarter. They would leave that because they had no intention of living there. And it kind of changed the face of the prairies. The prairies, who through the dark times had organized as a cooperative, and everybody was helping everybody because nobody had anything. And you just helped everybody. But then prosperity comes, and it's harder, much harder. But it was interesting to me when I moved to Toronto, and I keep in touch with my friends back there. And one of the things that happened was there was a whole group of farmers who moved to Canada from Ireland. And they moved into Cupar and Dysart and started living on the home quarters and just farming on their quarter. And it was quite amazing because now there were people actually living. Sometimes you go miles and there'd be nobody in a homestead, but now they were being filled up with all these lovely, wonderful families, young families from Ireland. And then while I was still in Toronto, we have the Syrian refugee crisis. When everybody saw that little boy on the beach, and it electrified people to want to do something about what was so horrible. The whole world, indeed, it's one of I think, the virtues and values of a one God, seeing the whole world come together to try and say, this is not right, we need to do something. The farmers in Kupar and Dysart decided that they would give a certain amount of their grain to the grain bank, and the grain bank would then provide money for Syrian refugees. Now, one of the things that, if you've ever lived in Saskatchewan, you know, is that weather is very precarious. You never know when you're going to get your harvest off. And if you get a nice day one day, the next day it could snow or it could freeze, and your crop goes from A to B. And so it is very precarious. I was so moved by the farmers in Kupar and Dysart. They took off their crop, and the first of the crop that they took off, they gave to the grain bank. They didn't do all their harvest and then give the tail end. You know how you get stale bread the next day? They didn't do that. They gave their first. They took a chance, a horrible chance, that the next day when they took off some grain for themselves, it wouldn't be nearly as good. I was so moved by that, because I know no farmer, especially in the West, makes money from their farm. But to give that first fruits away was just an amazing gesture, I thought. When I was in Flemington Park, there was a man who was part of the ministry who unfortunately was an alcoholic. Something he just couldn't seem to get past. We saw him frequently. He came for coffee at our place. We would talk. We tried to be supportive. That it was clear that there was no way he was very likely to ever stop drinking. But when we had a community meal, that man went out. He bought, Flemington is predominantly Muslim. He went out and bought halal meat, which is very expensive meat. And he went out and bought that and all the other fixings. And he made this huge, beautiful lasagna to bring to the community meal. And he didn't want, I usually thank who brings food, and he said, please, I don't want the thanks. That image of a man who will never get his life right, who will never figure out how to be good to himself. Every community meal, that man brought a huge lasagna. That's first fruits. That is first fruits. And I think back into our history. When there were first settlers coming to this country, the indigenous people in both the United States and in Canada welcomed new people in. And they taught them how to feed themselves and how to survive in that country. And they did things together. In Canada, the Métis tradition developed out of the marriage of Europeans and indigenous people, and you get a whole breadth of a country growing. What happens with prosperity? When there is prosperity, somehow people make the decision that it's time to put indigenous people on reserves or to take their right away of having children educated near them. What is it that we do that we forget? Who helped us? Who walked alongside of us? And then we do that because we are prosperous? We need to look at that. And we're hearing that in Paul talking to the Philippians, who have really burst into this wonderful community of faith. And he's reminding them that, yes, I know you're all carried away with all of this, but remember, when he uses the word rejoice in the Lord, what Paul is reminding them is there is one God, and there is one people of God, and that their rejoicing is based on having virtues. Virtues like truth, justice, kindness, that those virtues are the virtues that we bring to the people when we are prosperous in our faith. And so that's what we're called to do. We're called to be in relationship with one another. To know that we are connected. And that our connection is what God is looking for. What does God require of us? To love God with all of our heart, all our mind, all our soul, all our strength, and our neighbor as ourselves. This is the day we need to say to ourselves, in our prosperity, thank you, God, for calling us to be a people of faith in this place. Help us to have the energy to pray for that which will bring your kingdom together. I can't believe that after going through the Syrian crisis, this week we read about a Syrian family who started a business in Toronto who had to close their doors because of the hate. God's people are not a people of hate. God's people are a people of justice and integrity, confidence. That's who we're called to be. And when Jesus says, "Very truly I tell you," that's like the emoji exclamation point. Very truly I tell you, you know, we're getting a lecture here. Those people followed Jesus because they thought he would magically change their lives. That somehow he would come and have magic ways of making their lives even more prosperous. And instead of understanding what he was really coming for, they just keep pushing him, you know? What kind of sign are you going to give us? We want a sign. It's a sense of magic, you know, as if people are looking for magic. If we only had the magic at St. Peter's, every single pew here would be full. If we had the magic, no. Because bottom line to Jesus, very truly I tell you, I'm not measuring your faith by how many people are sitting in your church. I'm measuring your faith by who you are to one another and to the people you share the world with. That's how I'm measuring your faith. Not by how many you bring in here. It's nice to have extra people, but that's not the magic. That's not the magic. Thanksgiving is a time for us to have a little humility, to really examine what it is. Because I'll bet you that when your family gathers, and every family will have some bickering that happens too at this time, but what you're really going to talk about, what you're really going to be thankful for, isn't all the food you're going to be eating. It's going to be the feeling you get when you're with people who you love. Even the people who disappoint you sometimes, you love that you're with them at the table. Well, our world is a big table, and it is in agony, and it is in pain, and it is in violence. And we need to bring to that table some hope and some faith.
And that's our calling at St. Peter's. And it will always be the calling of St. Peter's. And that will never die. It will never fade away. It doesn't need any magic. We just need to know that God calls us to be faithful and just and be in relationship with everyone in the world. Thanks be to God.
Amen.